Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is the 21st of September, and in three more sleeps, we are introducing our new program called Yallo on Air. It is officially activated and sponsored by Gospel for Grampian radio station. We would like to welcome our sponsor and founder of Gospel for Grampian, Rob Rowe. Welcome, sir. It is such an honor and privilege for you to be on air today.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having us on. It's a great privilege to be on and to celebrate also the launch as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. We have a very special guest today, Tanya De Silva. She's a young executive, a devout Christian. Tanya is going to share some experiences of how she stays morally astute and still begin to succeed as a young executive in a very, very, very pressurizing, wayward world. Welcome, beautiful Tanya.
Thank you so much, Angelina. Thank you, Rob. I am so blessed and so excited to be with you tonight.
Then we have a wonderful, wonderful lady. She sings the most beautiful songs. She brings the church environment to another level as she brings in the Spirit of the Living God. And we are so honored as Work on Air and Yallo on Air to have on board Samantha Pizzo. She is the new addition to our air crew. She will be joining us every week on Yallo and WAAC to minister to our listeners with music. Welcome, beautiful Sammy.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I thank God that I can use my talent to uplift and encourage others. This is really an honor, and I'm really grateful. Thank you very much for welcoming me.
Thank you, Sammy. How are you today, Myrtle?
I am blessed and favored. Thank you, Angelina.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having us on the crew tonight with all these beautiful ladies.
Yes, yes. And Myrtle just loves empowering youth. So she sees our youth crew as her babies. And to our beautiful Erica, she's on board. She operates in the prophetic, in the intercessory. She's a businesswoman, and she has written a book which we use when we inspire. How are you, our beautiful Erica?
Hi, beautiful Angelina and all the crew and all the new people and Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's such an honor to just be part of this new thing that's evolving here on Women of Africa Care. I am so excited and I can't wait to see what tonight is going to bring, or this day is going to bring, out of the hand of our God. Thank you.
Thank you, precious Erica. Yallo seeks to empower Generation Z and beyond in Africa, America, and Australia with our empowerment framework featuring ethical conduct, original form that is male and female, and embracing purpose. This we achieve by instilling positive values in the hearts of our students through various educational programs and boot camps. And in our air crew, we have the interactive discussions led by Masego, where we play the part of virtual parenting, empowerment agents, teachers, providing corrective measures, motivations and instructions, and importantly, praying for our listeners. Rob, how does our Yallo program fit in with your vision for Gospel for Grampian?
Thank you, Angelina. It's our heart to get the gospel, the good news of salvation made possible through Christ Jesus, out to every language and people group around the world. And you at Women of Africa Care and at Yallo, you've been doing precisely that. You are reaching and encouraging both women and youth. And it's been really striking just listening in to your programs, how you are blossoming. And I believe that our listeners are really benefiting as a result.
Thank you, Rob. Again, thank you for the honor and privilege for giving us the airtime to be able to minister to people, to youth, and to women. And like you said, even men are encouraged by the inspiration. Our Yallo program covers aspects such as moral regeneration, values, purpose, vision, identity, friendships, youth challenges, identity, acceptance, prayer, joy, peace, culture, forgiveness, respect, honor, love, relationships, And we give Bible perspectives on all of these matters, family matters. And we are so excited, Gospel for Grandparents, to introduce you to our youth crew. Maseko Mapile, she's the owner of Osadio Consulting. She's a confidence coach. She's a Toastmaster champion. And she loves God. And she aspires to help youth be a voice to be heard. Maseko will be the program director for Women of Africa Care Yellow Program. And she will lead our Yellow Air crew with the honor of drawing out the hidden treasures of God's kingdom for the youth to live from an eternal standpoint where greatness is inevitable. Welcome, Maseko.
Messiah's greetings to all the Gospel for Grandparents listeners. Thank you, Angelina. We are excited for this beautiful youth program. I must say, I'm already having goosebumps. I cannot wait to listen to every speaker that is here today. Thank you so much, and I'm really excited for this program.
Welcome, beautiful Maseko. You are looking after our crew. And then we want to introduce our beautiful Annalene Botha. She's a youth pastor from an international church. She serves in the local South African branch. She has backbone to help the air crew in achieving the desired outcomes of developing sustainable social footprint of our youth listeners. Welcome, Annalene.
Thank you so much for the beautiful welcome, Angelina. And thank you, and hi, listeners. This is such an honor and privilege to be here. I'm so excited for everything and everyone who's going to be impacted by the gospel through this, and to hear and to sow into not the next generation, but I believe our generation is the now generation. I'm so excited.
Awesome. And then we have these two amazing moms. They are youth moms, Sershni Phillips and Michelle DeBeer. Both these precious youth moms have their own growing pains, growing up and as young parents, to share their experiences for youth who are entering into marriage or are in marriage or are single and waiting to be married. Their life experiences in these times we are living in is so necessary and will help youth cultivate a healthy boundary so that their lives are not shattered by the darkness in this world. Welcome, beautiful Sershni.
Oh, thank you so much, Angelina. I am immensely grateful for this opportunity. And I'd like to say hello to everyone as well as the Gospel for Grampian listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Michelle.
Hi, Angelina and team. Rob, thank you so much for having us. I'm very excited what Yellow has in store for us. I'm excited for the listeners, and I can't wait to share the word with you. Thank you, Angelina.
Wonderful. Today, we are going to be introducing moral regeneration as we bring in our youth program. In South Africa, the drive for moral regeneration is regulated at national level as part of the youth empowerment agenda framed by the National Youth Policy 2030 to transform the profile of SA youth. The policy targets a decade to accelerate positive youth outcomes. So what government is saying, I am giving South Africa 10 years to present a morally astute Generation Z. South Africa's youth are classified as people between the ages of 15 and 34. And as of 2020, 34.7% of South Africa's population was made up of youth category. In the same period, the unemployment rate was 30.1% and grown to 32.6% at current year. And sadly, Gospel for Grampian listeners, majority of this 32.6% unemployment rate are youth. As long as the economy remains static, no growth means South African youth remains base of employment. That's saying majority of the unemployment sits at the youth level. Government is advancing infrastructure projects, but until these projects are in activation mode, youth unemployment prevails. Now, Gospel for Grampian listeners, our youth sits with a few challenges. They go to school to be educated, to find purpose. Added to this frustration of a future that's uncertain because of high unemployment rate, the growing pains of adolescence without adult supervision and no motivation for their future because of high unemployment rate, lack of rural social infrastructure development, where to now is their question. Is getting educated after all worth the time and effort? All of these questions muddies their minds, coupled with the access to unlimited X-rated exposure in technology has made them destructive. Yes, Gospel for Grampian Youth, our youth are living in a very unhealthy, unsafe social environment. They have social issues, educational challenges, and peer pressures. And the high divorce rates and death rates make single parenting even more challenging for our youth to have healthy home environments. These challenges in young minds can create chaos. Therefore, we hear reports and see videos in action of disrespect in schools, bullying, teenage pregnancies, alcohol, drug use, abortion, violence, murder, stealing, pornography use, gang rapes. Even teachers have forgotten their place of authority and respect because the boundaries of submission have been removed due to moral decay. Government is striving to promote basic education for all. And we as WAC on Air and Yellow on Air, like other passionate youth inspirational advocates, promote youth to promote the value of moral regeneration. Government has got a value for the National Youth Policy that says moral regeneration. And we as Yellow are helping government through supporting their values of enabling youth to become change agents, effective social beings, inherent worth and dignity, and embracing equality through our Yellow on Air and school bus experience interventions. Sammy, encourage our youth today in music ministry to lift them up.
Bigger than a universe, you're bigger than the sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things, oh, they could tear me apart. You're bigger than a universe, you're bigger than the sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things, oh my, they could tear me apart. For I know you created all the earth. For I know you created all the earth. You're bigger. You're bigger than the problems I face. You're bigger than the disasters I've seen. You're bigger, you're so much bigger, Jesus, than what this life may bring. Oh Lord, yeah, you're bigger than the universe. Yes, you are. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, bigger than the things that could tear me apart. You're great. Sing, for I know. You're so great. You're so great. Bigger, you're bigger, Jesus, bigger than anything I've seen, bigger, bigger, yeah, yeah, you're bigger, yes you are, you're bigger, Jesus, you're bigger than any marital problem, you're bigger than any broken home, Lord. You're bigger than life, Jesus. You're even bigger than negativity. Oh, you're bigger, yes you are. Oh, you're bigger. Bigger than HIV. bigger than cancer, Jesus. You're bigger than diabetes. The stripes on your back makes you bigger. The stripes on your back, they make you bigger. They make you bigger. Your blood makes you bigger. Your love makes you bigger. You overcame death, and that makes you bigger. That makes you bigger. Hey, say, you'll be a Yeshua, Lord. You're bigger, Jesus, hey, yeah. You're bigger than identity confusion. You're bigger than a mistake, yeah. For I know you're greater than all the earth. For I know you're greater than all the earth. For I know you're greater than all the earth. You're bigger. Oh, you're bigger.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, beautiful Sammy. As we go into this introduction of what is moral regeneration, we ask you, Myrtle, is there a need for moral regeneration?
Most definitely, Angelina, there is a need. When we look at the moral decay that is prevalent in society, I believe more parents are on their knees for the sustainability of their children and generations ahead versus praying for their own self needs and issues. As a parent myself, looking at what is happening in the world today, I feel I need to babysit my kids, even they are adults, because the world has become too dark for them to even think for themselves what is wrong and what is right. Gospel for Grampian listeners, I grew up in a time when adult movies like Dallas was a no-no to watch as a teenager. These people were still had clothes on in the movies and had no vulgar words spoken. And I was told it is an adult rated and I cannot watch it. Why my parents told me I couldn't watch it is because they wanted to keep me, my mind pure and protected me from moral decay. In the current day, access to information has removed the restrictions, and therefore you're seeing children as little as 9 and 10 years old addicted to pornography, pregnancies, and gender confusions. The world system is advocating self-explorative opportunities for children to explore their confusing self. As an example, this authority states, if you feel like a male today, explore that gender, even if you're a female. In Canada, the 28th of July, 2022, Legal Prox reported 52 gender, namely male, female, trans, gender neutral, gender queer, two-spirit, third gender, pan-gender, list goes on. Did you know people who change their gender are called gender fluid? In other words, one day a person might define themselves as a female, the next day as a man. How confused are the individual, and laws feed their confusion by adopting laws to promote confused minds. Yet God designed them as a specific gender for a specific purpose in life. We read in Psalm 139:13-18, for you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them, when laws had no boundaries regarding our design, then you, the authorities, are making room for the people to become their very own enemies. What happened in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, because the authorities allow perverted laws to be instituted to please their people, and became one big burn up. Gospel for Grampian listeners, look at the state of moral decay. In one write-up, a health advisor supports adultery, fornication, and homosexual. Huffington Post, December 2017. A swingers relationship. The writer is Kelly Benamati, who is a family solution behavioral specialist and preventative health advisor. This is what she advised readers. I am quote verbatim her counsel to readers. When I first heard the term swingered, it was on a talk show, and I thought it was crazy, a crazy concept, like you might as you are reading this. However, before bashing swingers, listen to how it could benefit some of you. Swingers are couples or singles who choose to have an open relationship, allowing their partners to have sex with other people with their permission, of course. I began to learn why this type of relationship can work for anyone willing to follow the rules, respect one another, be honest, get tested for STDs, use protection, and be very selective in choosing partners and remaining private about such a new way of what some couples swear by, a healthy relationship. Couples or singles who select this type of lifestyle seek one of many partners for the pure excitement of getting from one partner what they don't receive from their main partner. Then both feel comfortable allowing the other to have different mates. They can be of the same sex or different depending upon their mood of the day. I understand this type of bizarre lifestyle does not work for everyone. However, the ones it work for absolutely live by it and love it. If all of these rules or boundaries are followed and everyone is happy, there really isn't any harm in living together this way. This is sick, and I get sick just reading it. The Bible states in Hebrews 13 verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornication and adulterers God will judge. Sex within the marriage is honorable. All other types of sexual activities are condemned as immoral and bring God's judgment. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, Paul talks to the born-again Christians at Corinth. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. Christians who fornicate commit adultery. Homosexuals, Paul himself said, there are people in the church practicing such, and it should not be allowed. Is there a need for moral regeneration? If health family advisors are promoting sexual immorality, of course we have the need for moral generation, because what example is the current day adult setting for the generations ahead to follow? Experts are endorsing perverted living, which affects home, families, and children. Just recently, we attended an event and an exhibitor was selling cookies, a product that had marijuana or dacha. I was absolutely shocked. Amongst all the intoxicated products out there, now it comes in the light edible meals and snacks. Angelina, is there a need for moral regeneration? With great urgency, yes, a resounding yes. We have to be so careful what drinks and snacks we accept from people, because you don't even know anymore if your meals is doctored with drugs. God warns us in scripture the dangers of the use of drugs and alcohol. Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Ephesians 5 verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which lead to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:17, ESV translation, we read, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Why do we need moral regeneration? So that the temple of God can be restored. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. Hinder God's presence in our lives? When we disrespect our bodies, moral decay leads us to disrespect our bodies and our quality of life, which is only found in God. Thank you, Angelina.
Wow, Myrtle, such an eye-opener. Erica, what does scripture say about teaching the next generation so that the heritage of a godly nation does not disappear?
Thank you, my precious Angelina, and I'm so happy to share with the Gospel of Grampian listeners what the Word of God says. And we know that the Word of God is the final word. Let's start with Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. It says, let us praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, it's obvious from this scripture that the plan of God is that our children will be mighty upon the earth. So God has truly given us as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, even aunts and uncles, as we live according to God's word, that our children will see how we live. Because if we read Psalm 78, it says here that he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, commanding our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children still to be born might arise and recount them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep his commandments. We want to live so that children who aren't even born yet will hear about the works of God, so that they set their hope in God and keep his commandments. What does the Bible say about generation to generation? We read in Genesis 17, verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So what does that mean? That we should pray for our children daily. And then what psalm is future generations? If we read Psalm 22, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. We ask, what verse talks about discipling the next generation?
Psalm 145, verse 4. We are all responsible for the emerging generation, for discipling and passing on all that God has given to us. And then what is God's promise for the next generation? Exodus 20, for verse 6. God promised to bless 1,000 generations if we love him and obey his commands. God wants us to pass on our spiritual legacy and blessings to the next generation. It is the mission of the first generation to pass on their faith to the next generation. Pray to see the next generation the way God sees them. Claim the inheritance of God for your generation and the generation after you. Claim God's promises that last beyond generation. And then how do you pass faith to the next generation? Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. That means that as people of faith, we are the guardians of the flame. We constantly talk to our children, to the next generation. We speak good words about God. We should never let young people hear unbelief come out of our mouths. What is the faith of the next generation worth? And this is what Andy Stanley said. He said, it's not the gospel, but the version of how it's lived out that keeps people from staying with their faith. You see, we can talk a lot, but if we don't live what we speak, then it doesn't have a very strong effect on the people, on the children that look at us. What is the faith of the next generation worth? Everything. Change your budgets, your music, or anything necessary to help the next generation discover a faith that can handle the rigors of adulthood. So I truly believe that our foundation lies in the Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, that it goes between marrow and bone. So if parents start off praying for their children, speaking life, God's word over their children, that even when you drive in the street or walk on the pavement or wherever you are, and you see children, young adults, and you see that their behavior is not godly, just there and then, without them knowing, you can just stretch forth your hand and you can bless them. You can speak God's word over them. And you know, the angels come immediately and they work out the spoken word of God. I truly believe that we as older people should be so sensitive that it is not just our children, it is all the children, because God wants all the children to come to him. And you know, we see that happening, the revival all over the world, but we shall pray for them that it will not be for a moment, but it will go on for their whole life, so that their children come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Angelina, and thank you very much, Gospel for Grampian listeners.
I love what I'm hearing, Erica Nosejo, in light of what Erica has said now. She stated that as an adult, as a older generation, we have a duty to claim, to pray, and to be an example. What are your thoughts in terms of the importance of moral regeneration in leaving a legacy for the Generation Z and beyond to build from?
Thank you very much, Angelina. Coming from a young woman, moral regeneration is needed, especially in the society that we live in right now, where technology has overtook the values that we would normally teach over a nice family meal, where now our kids have access to videos, have access to social media accounts of their favorites, living in a certain way and making it seem like it is right. Parents do their best, but the parents must also pray for their children. Because one way or the other, at home, we need to teach our kids on how to behave outside and give them the right values that they need. Funny that we mentioned this. I was actually reading just today one of the journals that was published by KIDA RM 2005 and He wrote about moral courage, taking action when your values are put to the test, and it was published in New York. And there are things that he mentioned, and he said, there are four moral problems that we have. The first one is true versus loyalty. Because we are loyal to a celebrity, even if they commit a crime, according to the youth and the Gen Z that we have today, what they do is right because we are loyal to them. And then the second one is individual versus community. If something is supported by one person, that thing is not right. But when it's supported by a community, then all of a sudden is right. Then there's short term versus long term. If I can get this gratification now, it makes it right, as opposed to waiting for tomorrow to get that gratification. And the fifth one is justice versus virtue. All these four moral problems that Kira mentioned is the reason why we are having moral decay currently in our countries, in our society. And Gospel for Grampians, welcome again. If you are just tuned in, we are having an exciting conversation topic about moral generation that particularly our Gen Z needs to listen to. Yes, Ecclesiastes says, please enjoy your youth and do the things that young kids do. But young kids don't make decisions like they are adults. So we need to enjoy our youth as the youth of today, Gen Z. And now, Annie, tell me more about the value of self-love. You know, we talk about values. We're saying that we need to have values in order for us to be moral. Now, what this value about self-love, this value that we need to have? Annie, please take us through it.
Masekho, speaking on self-love, actually, it's ironic because I think as a teenager, which it wasn't a few years ago, that was the one thing you struggle with, especially as a young person, as a Gen Z. You don't love yourself, so you try and change yourself. Or even now, how Myrtle mentioned about the different genders. If I feel like I'm not a good enough female, what if I'm more male? And you start to judge yourself and actually come to a place where you're not loving who you are and who God has created you to be. So I wanted us to actually take us back to the basics. I wanted to take us to John 3, verse 16 to 17, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, this might be one of our most common verses in Christianity, but I think especially for our generation, it's the most important because they need to hear, we need to hear that God loves and values us. Because as soon as you realize how much God loves and values you, you'll start to love and value yourself. As soon as you understand the value of Jesus, the value of his act at the cross and his sacrifice, and the fact that God wanted such a personal relationship with us, he loved us so much that he would send the treasure of heaven to us, die for us, to be able to show us that he loves us. So for me, self-love it's not just a value, but it's a fruit of knowing that you are loved by the Father first. In 1 John 4, verse 8 to 10, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this is love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So to say that we need the value of self-love, we need love itself, we need God, we need to realize that God is love. He is the very definition of love. And if we are to carry the value of love in any form, we must first allow God to reveal his love for us in a personal way. I encourage you, if there's one thing you tell your teenager or your child, is that they're loved by God, because as soon as love penetrates your heart, it changes everything. Us as a Gen Z, we keep on looking for ways, can I love myself? But if you realize the creator of heaven loves you, the person who can do anything, who's created everything, he has made you. Yes, Maseko, I hope that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. Self-love, God is love. Because God loves you, you love yourself. enough not to change yourself or even change yourself from what God has given you from the beginning. So when you love yourself, you love what God created before you were formed in your mother's womb. So these are one of the qualities or the values that we need to get as Gen Zs. We can regenerate and we can be morally equipped for us to make decisions as Gen Z. Michelle, tell us about the value of honesty.
Thank you so much, Masehu. Speaking of value of honesty, for me, value of honesty helps in developing good attributes like kindness, discipline, truthfulness. So a few benefits of honesty is you will build closer friendships. Just to remember, honesty paves the way. Trust, people and God will trust you and lead you. Confidence. All these questions the youth ask themselves today. Is honesty a value? Why should I be honest? What is honesty for you? So yes, of course, honesty is a core value. It's the most important value. But we build strength of character that will allow us to be of great service to God and others. Personally for me, honesty is a character quality, a sign of the Holy Spirit's work in a person's soul. Like, God cannot lie, therefore his presence in a person gives rise to truthfulness. God's people are always honest. The Bible states in the NIV translation, those who follow Jesus, in John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the only way and the truth and the life. In Ephesians 4 verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. In fact, being honest is more about your character and values than anything else. When you have honesty, this means people can trust you with absolutely anything and everything. Remember, lying is a sin. However, one lie is all it takes for someone to doubt you. People wouldn't be able to rely on you, and only you can change that. It will make your life easier. People will rely on you by being honest. You get people to trust you more, and they will see that that you value your relationship with them. Being honest is also a sign of respect, and you will avoid hurting others and yourself. Self-respect is definitely key. Be brave. Be brave enough to tell the truth. The most beautiful verse for me to describe honesty is in Philippians 4 verse 8 in the NIV translation. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If I can give you some advice, practice honesty. Practice by being honest with yourself. And I promise you that you will be great at being honest with everybody else. People will love you for being honest. Be the person that values honesty, and everything else will fall into place. Remember to be brave and ask God to guide you. Value yourself and what you accomplished, you will succeed. It is very important for us to rethink and remodel that. We bring honesty back in society so that everything goes in natural manner. Trust the Lord in everything and you will value honesty. So Masehu, for me, value of honesty is really a very, very core value, and I believe that the youth should also trust themselves to be more honest. Thank you, Masehu.
Thank you very much, Michelle. You know, you just touched one key point about how we need to be honest, and this honesty is the great value that we need as Gen Z. The problem is, I'll take it back to what Annie said, the problem is we don't love ourselves enough that we're not even honest to others. So these are the two values that you need to have as Gen Z for us to regenerate this morality that we have. The world that we're living in changed in a way that none of us could have ever imagined. We need our morality to keep us in check all the time, especially when we're making decisions, especially as Gen Z. So one more value that I would like us to talk about, and this is the value of self-identity. Sashni, please take us through the value of self-identity. We spoke about the value of self-love, knowing that God loves you, the value of honesty, where you will be appreciated when you're honest. You do not need to be popular by not being honest. Sashni, please take us through the value of self-identity.
Thank you so much, Maseko. I really appreciate it. Hello, Gospel for Grumpian listeners. I'm so excited and grateful to have this opportunity to share the value of self-identity with you. Self-identity is defined as the identity that one gives oneself based on their knowledge and understanding of themselves. It's an internal awareness of who one is and how that identity fits into our social environment. Identifying self lastly means loving yourself for who you are. Now, there's individual traits such as physical, psychological, social attributes about oneself. I can say that self-identity can be broken down into two main parts. The first one, personal identity, and that is one's own sense of personal attributes, example, values, personal beliefs, and hobbies. The second one is social identity. That consists of social definitions of who you are as an individual, example, race, religion, and occupation. Values and personal beliefs are fundamental aspects of identity. Our belief system can help us recognize what matters most to us and determine where we stand on important issues. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, that all men and women are created in God's image. Yes, that's right, in God's image. As followers of Jesus, we are called to find our identity in Him. Our identity is for the sake of making known His identity. We are given our identity so that God can be seen in us. Once we know who we are in Christ Jesus, it puts us in a better position to understand our purpose. Until an individual knows who and whose they are going to have a hard time fully understanding why God created them and understand their purpose, because one's identity and purpose goes hand in hand. When God looks at us, He does not see a former sinner in light of who we once were, but rather He sees us as redeemed and a new creation who has been made whole. Therefore, it is so important to see ourselves as God sees us. Because when we do that, I believe we will have a strong foundation on self-identity. Now, our soul consists of our will, mind, and emotions. So do you see, when we believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, then our will, mind, and emotions will be aligned to how God sees us. And in doing so, we will have a deeper understanding of oneself. Just remember that God made us who we are so we can make known who He is. Our identity is for the sake of making known His identity. Jesus is the only way you will ever find your true worth and identity. John chapter 1 verse 12, where it speaks about we are a child of God. Now, receiving Jesus as Lord changes our relationship status with God. We become His children. Isn't that amazing? Next one is John chapter 15, verse 5. You are given everything you need. And that is referring to the fruit of the Spirit. That is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. It speaks about us being uniquely gifted. Now, one of God's most precious gifts to His children is His Holy Spirit, and that's what it's referring to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you are a new person. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When we believe this, then we will realize that the old has passed away and we are new in Christ Jesus. Lastly, Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 says, you are Jesus' representatives. Now, we have an opportunity to give others a glimpse of Christ's mercy, patience, and kindness. If we humbly point to Christ as the one who makes those qualities possible in our lives, we may help others find their own identity in Him. Thank you so much, Maseko. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you so much, Sejni. I believe that Gospel for Grampians listeners, they took all those scriptures into account and they did note them down so that they can meditate upon this word. It is important for us to know who we are in Christ, because the foundation of this moral regeneration comes from knowing who you are, your identity in Christ. You are His representative. You are the visual representative of the invisible God. And that's one thing that we need to know, and we need to believe in ourselves, that I am a child of God. Tanya, what are your thoughts on what we've been discussing today? We spoke about self-love. When you love yourself, believing that God is love, you have a great value, which then will give birth to you being an honest person. And all these two come from you understanding your identity, that you are a child of God. Share your thoughts, Tanya.
Thanks, Maseko. Just like you said, I think that when you find your identity in Christ, you really do understand who you are, whose you are, and the power that you stand in, the power that you walk in. And I think that, you know, our young people are struggling a lot these days with some of the things that Myrtle said. Really just broke my heart, the stats that she poured out. And it just sounds like the enemy has got this agenda of confusion and deception. He's going around sowing those seeds, and our young people are picking them up and listening. And I think what we need to do really is to remind our kids that live in the Word, but give up the world.
Wow.
We live in this world, but we are not of it.
Wow, deep. That is so deep.
We've been speaking about Gracefully Broken last week, and it's about die to self, and that's exactly what Tanya is saying. In order for us to have that identity that Sejni spoke about, and the self-love and the honesty, to live in the Word means die to self.
Absolutely, absolutely, Angelina. And dying to self, I remember when I was watching a video by Catherine Kuhlman, I think it was years back, and then she says, I remember the day that I died. I remember where, the time, and the what. Meaning that that's the day when she got regenerated into a new form now, where she's no longer of the world, no longer conforming to the thoughts, opinions, to the values of the world. But right now she listens to Christ and Christ alone. And she became a new person. And you know, what Tanya said just touched my heart, and I just found myself in a state of meditation. And I was just listening to God telling me about how we need to know that, yes, we live in this world, but we are not of it. Yes, we are in this body. Yes, we are serving Him, but we do not belong to this world. Wow, Angeline, that was very, very deep.
I want to go back very into deep. That. Yes, I want to go back into that. Live in the Word and not in the world. And that is the solution, Masejo. That is the solution for moral regeneration. If we live in the Absolutely. Word, we transform by speaking the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So when I speak it, my ears hear it, and I become it.
Yes. You've just reminded me of something that you just said. When I speak it, I hear it, and I act it. Just the same way as the same conversation that we had last week, and we're speaking about how in Genesis, where God said, He spoke, His word is sharper than any double-edged sword. When He spoke, then it became, and so shall we. Living in this Word. Wow, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Angelina, this was a very great conversation, I must say. This was very enlightening, and it revived the souls of many people, those that were slumbering within their spiritual journey are awake now, knowing that what the world is making right is actually not right. The Word of God is what is right, and the Word of God will guide on what is right. Wow, Angelina.
I want to go back to Tanya. Tanya, thank you for that revelation. And touching on that revelation is what caused you to become a young executive, because you had a grooming, you had an environment, you had a homestead that taught you what the value of self-love is, the value of honesty is, and the value of self-identity. And that is what caused you to become so successful at such a young age. She's a young executive recently promoted of a huge company that's listed in the country. And there's a price to pay for success. And that price is the word of God and obedience to the word of God. Talk to us, Tanya.
Well, I gave my heart to the Lord at 14 years old. And I was so young, pretty much came to the Lord with a clean slate. And just as I gave my heart to him and fell in love with him, I just wanted more of him and to be more like him. And I've been, from that age, I've been in the Word and spending time with God, really trying to understand what it is that he wants me to do here on earth. I mean, he is my creator and he made me for a purpose. So, you know, I want that purpose to be fulfilled. And he has shown me over the years, I am exactly where he wants me to be. And looking back in hindsight, I think that is actually clearer than it was some points in my life. But yes, I have definitely seen the hand of God, the favor of God on my life. You know, at times where I could have gone astray, but thank God I didn't. He's just kind of nudged me back in line. But God's been extremely good. He's been extremely faithful. It's in his nature. That's who he is. So yeah. That's pretty much my story. I also just want to say that we all think that, you know, sure, we do have a purpose that we need to meet for the Lord, and we are put on this earth for a reason. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a job or you can't have a career, because God can work through you wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And sometimes what you do is a part of your journey that's taking you to where he wants you to be.
Thank you, precious Tanya, for that inspiration. Masego.
Thank you so much, Tanya. And the concept that you spoke about is the reason why most people, and even especially Gen Z, do not even opt to being Christian or give them their lives to the Lord, because they think that when you're a Christian, you need to live in a certain way. You're not supposed to be an executive. You're not supposed to be a businesswoman or a CEO. But I thank God that you listened to his voice and you followed him and you made sure that, you know what, I'm going to carry this banner that says Christ is my Lord and Savior wherever I go. And that made God bless you to be where you are. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for such a wonderful day. Angelina, this was a beautiful conversation. Tanya?
Thank you. I just wanted to add that, you know, throughout my career, I think the Lord has definitely said to me time and time again, whatever you do, do it well. I'm my representative.
I love what you're saying there. And Jesus actually talks about it in the Old Testament. God hates complacency. So we have to do it well. Hey, Masego.
Yep. Perfection and excellence. They are all the characteristics of God. It has to be perfect.
Yep.
Not mediocre. You can't be complacent. It has to be perfect. And there's nothing
exactly
wrong with striving for perfection, because that's the nature of the Holy Spirit. It's perfect. Which is why today we had the values that we were speaking about. We spoke about self-love. We spoke about honesty. We spoke about self-identity. Understanding the true form of the Holy Spirit. Understanding who we are in God. Understanding what we are up to do. Being honest takes a lot of courage. It's easy when we speak about it, but it's hard when it's being done, especially in a world that we live in today where morality is out the window. Everybody does what everybody else is doing. We are accommodating gender fluidity, but being honest, you do what Christ says you do. And in most cases, the crowd, other people do not agree. But being confident in ourselves, not because of we are confident in what we can do, but we are confident because we know the grace of God will always carry us through. Beautiful conversation. And well, and Tanya, God has blessed you. And thank you so much, Michelle, and also Annie. Thank you so much also to Sashni, for sharing your thoughts on the topic and sharing your thoughts on the values that we need. One thing I've learned in this conversation particularly is that one of the ways in which we can change the moral standing of the world and how we perceive it and how we perceive this world today, or rather to regenerate morality in this world, is for us to have good values. Our value systems will determine how we live. If you are a Christian and you love God, those are your values. No matter what the world is doing, and we are being hit by an influx of, they call it in South Africa, freedom of speech on TikTok, freedom of speech on social media. Even you, who's the listener, because of your morality is based on the value that I'm a child of God, nothing will sway you. Because the word of God came first, and the word of God is paramount, and the word of God is speaking in your conduct. And the word of God, every time when you open the doors of your ears and you're listening to things that are foreign to you, foreign to your spirit, not how God created you, when you listen to that, your values will keep you intact all the time. So youth, Gospel for Grampians listeners, make sure that you fan your values into flame. You need to go back to the word of God. Let it teach you over and over again about who you are, your identity. Let it welcome you to that love that he is. Let it teach you how to become honest so that you know how to speak the truth in front of people and in front of God, and you're not swayed by public opinion. Angelina?
Thank you, Masego. Gospel for Grampian listeners, I love where the conversation went in us closing today. I'm reminded about what God said about the three Hebrew boys. They had a more excellent spirit. And that is exactly what our job is to do. Our job on Work on Air and Yellow on Air is to raise up the next generation to have a more excellent spirit. As we end today, we encourage you, youth, please listen on every week. From the 24th of September, as this wonderful Yellow crew encourages you. So I'm going to go from Erica.
I just want to say that the Lord says, be the ones who watch at the door of his house, as our Messiah is the door. We continually look at him and praising him as we diligently are serving in spirit and truth, guarding to do all his commands. And this is how we too keep watch over the house, over the body of Messiah with true joy. And the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gospel for Grampian listeners.
Thank you, Erica. Tanya?
Yeah, thanks, Angelina. I just want to, if I can just add one more point that the Lord, you know, put in my spirit earlier today, and that is that, coming back to the stats that Myrtle spoke about, so many people are walking around with their own versions of the truth. And you hear people say, this is my truth, that is my truth. The truth is, there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if we can just teach our kids to hang on to that, that he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, in the English language, the word the is the definite article. It means that there's only one of it. There's only one truth. And if he is the truth, he is the only truth.
Thank you, beautiful Tanya. Myrtle.
Angelina, the world can reject you, but God will never reject you. Rejection is protection.
Amen, amen. When the world rejects you, it's protection. I love it, I love it. Masego.
Listeners, the only thing I will say right now is go back and meditate upon what was said today. When you meditate upon it, you will bring it into reality. A lot was dropped into our spirits, a lot was dropped into our minds. Now we need to sit at the table while our enemies watch and eat what the Lord has brought before us. And these are the words coming from the Spirit into our spirit so that we can be regenerated. Wow.
Thank you, Masego. And Aline.
I think these lovely ladies have said so much, so many beautiful and powerful things. So I think all I'll say is, remember that God is with you. And anything you do and anything you go, when we choose Him, He is with us every single step of the way.
Thank you. Michelle.
Thank you, Angelina. So, yeah, while I was sitting here, I just got word that said, success in God, if you obey Him, follow Him, His favor for you will be success. You will actually lead a very good life, an honest life. Thanks, Angelina.
Sushni.
Thank you so much, Angelina. I'd just like to say, listeners, remember that you are who Christ says you are. Do not listen to what the world says, but listen to what Christ says about you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Gospel for Grampian listeners, we're going to ask our Rob Rowe to end the show and say a last few words.
Thank you, Angelina. Thank you, everyone. All I can say is, Gospel for Grampian listeners, go first of all and listen to this show again. Do everything that the Lord leads you to. Strive for excellence. And I want to thank God for each and every person who was on today. It was an excellent show. Thank you.